Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring the random prompts of Daniel Rosehill as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters. Join us for deep dives into AI, technology, and whatever other random thing Daniel finds fascinating today. Subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcatcher. Now, today's episode.
My Weird Prompts is an AI-generated podcast produced by Daniel Rosehill, a verified human with documentation to prove it. While every effort is made to ensure our AI hosts draw from credible sources and run on cutting-edge models, they do occasionally make things up with alarming confidence. As with everything in life, and especially this podcast, treat all claims as spurious until confirmed to be not. Daniel, Herman and Korn accept no responsibility for any decisions made based on the confident ramblings of our artificial presenters. Now, today's episode.
There, Herman and Korn, so I am sending you a...
Welcome, welcome, welcome to my weird prompts. I'm Korn, your ever-curious co-host, and as always, I'm joined by the encyclopedic Herman. How are you doing today, Herman?
I'm well, Korn, and ready to untangle another fascinating knot. Today's topic, if I understand correctly, delves into the murky waters of digital privacy, specifically messaging app security.
Exactly. Our producer, Daniel Rosehill, sent us an audio prompt this week that really got me thinking. It's about something we all use every single day, messaging apps. And the big question is, are we actually as secure as we think we are when we're chatting with friends and family?
It's a question that many people ask, or rather, should be asking more often. The perception of security versus the technical reality can be vastly different, especially when companies use marketing buzzwords like end-to-end encrypted. It sounds great, but what does it actually mean in practice for apps like WhatsApp, Telegram, and Signal?
See, that's where I get confused. I mean, WhatsApp has been touting end-to-end encryption for years, right? They even use the Signal protocol, or so I hear. So, if they're using the same underlying tech as Signal, then what's the big fuss? Aren't they essentially offering the same level of security?
Well, hold on a minute, Korn. You're skipping over some pretty crucial nuances there. While it's true that WhatsApp does use the Signal protocol for its end-to-end encryption, the implementation, the default settings, and perhaps most importantly, the company behind it, all play a significant role in the overall security and privacy posture. It's not just about the encryption protocol itself. It's about the entire ecosystem surrounding it.
Okay, but for a normal person, someone who isn't a cybersecurity expert or a spy, does that really matter? I just want to text my mom without someone reading our grocery list. Is WhatsApp not good enough for that?
That's a fair question, and it really gets to the heart of Daniel's prompt about what constitutes better security for a regular person. Let's define what we mean by end-to-end encryption first, because I think a lot of people throw that term around without truly understanding its implications.
Lay it on me, Professor.
End-to-end encryption, or E2EE, means that only the sender and the intended recipient can read the message. The messages are encrypted on the sender's device and decrypted only on the recipient's device. No one in between, not even the messaging service provider, can access the content of the conversation. Think of it like a secure tunnel directly between your phone and your friend's phone.
Got it. So if WhatsApp says it's E2EE, that means Facebook or Meta, whatever they're calling themselves now, can't read my messages, right?
Correct. Meta cannot read the content of your messages if they are end-to-end encrypted. But here's where the nuance comes in. WhatsApp's E2EE applies to all private messages and calls by default. However, it doesn't necessarily apply to everything. For instance, backups to cloud services like Google Drive or iCloud are often not E2EE by default, meaning if someone gained access to your cloud account, they could potentially read your backed up chats.
Oh, that's a big detail. So if I'm backing up my WhatsApp chats to my Google Drive, Google could potentially read them, or at least they're not encrypted in the same way.
Precisely. You have to opt in for E2EE backups in WhatsApp, and even then, there are questions about the key management. This is one of the first points where Signal stands out. Signal automatically encrypts everything, including local backups, and doesn't offer cloud backups that aren't also E2EE. It's an all-or-nothing approach to security.
Alright, so Signal is more thorough with its E2EE. What about Telegram? That's the other app Daniel mentioned. I know a lot of people who swear by Telegram for privacy.
And here's where it gets really interesting, and often misunderstood. Telegram, by default, does not offer end-to-end encryption for its standard chats. Your messages are encrypted client-to-server, and then server-to-client, but Telegram itself holds the encryption keys on its servers. This means, theoretically, Telegram could access your messages if they were compelled to by, say, a government agency.
Wait, really? So all those people thinking they're super secure on Telegram are actually not for their everyday chats? That seems like a huge difference.
It is a massive difference, Korn, and it's a critical distinction that many users overlook. Telegram does offer secret chats, which are end-to-end encrypted, but you have to explicitly initiate a secret chat with someone. They don't include group chats, and they are device-specific, meaning they don't sync across all your devices. For a regular person, remembering to use a special chat mode for security can be a hurdle.
That's a huge asterisk. So, to recap, WhatsApp is E2EE by default for messages, but not necessarily for cloud backups. Telegram is not E2EE by default, only for secret chats, and Signal is E2EE for everything, all the time, by default. Am I getting that right?
You've got the core technical distinctions down perfectly. But there's another crucial layer to this, metadata. Even if the content of your messages is E2EE, the metadata's who you talk to, when you talk, how often, your IP address, device information can reveal an astonishing amount about your life.
Oh, the digital breadcrumbs. I've heard about that. Who collects what?
WhatsApp, being owned by Meta, collects a significant amount of metadata. While they can't see your message content, they can see who you're messaging, how frequently, your location if shared, your device type, and so on. This data is incredibly valuable for their business model advertising. Signal, on the other hand, prides itself on collecting almost no metadata. They famously proved this in a court case where they were subpoenaed for user data and could only provide the time an account was created and the last time it connected to the service.
That's fascinating. So, even if the messages are locked up, the who, when, and where can still paint a pretty detailed picture of you. And Signal is the best for that?
From a metadata perspective, yes, Signal is the industry leader. Telegram, similar to WhatsApp's standard chats, collects quite a bit of metadata as well, because their standard chats are stored on their servers. They have publicly stated they have shared IP addresses and phone numbers with authorities in some cases, although they claim they haven't shared message content due to legal and technical hurdles.
Okay, so this is getting clearer. For a regular person just wanting basic privacy, WhatsApp offers E2EE for messages, which is good. But if you want a higher level of privacy where even the who, when, where is protected, Signal is the clear winner because of its default E2EE and minimal metadata collection. And Telegram, well, you really have to know what you're doing to get proper E2EE there.
Precisely. It comes down to a concept called threat model. Who are you trying to hide from? For most people, protecting messages from casual snooping or data breaches might be sufficient with WhatsApp's E2EE. But if your threat model includes state-sponsored surveillance, corporate data mining, or you're a journalist or activist, then Signal is the far more robust choice. Telegram exists in a bit of a middle ground, offering a perception of security that isn't always matched by its technical defaults.
I think that's a really important point for our listeners. Understand your threat model. If you're just chatting about what's for dinner, perhaps the differences are less critical. But if you're discussing sensitive topics, then you need to be much more aware.
Absolutely. And the regular person aspect of the prompt also brings up user experience. Signal, while superior in security, sometimes has a slightly less polished user interface or fewer bells and whistles compared to WhatsApp or Telegram, which prioritize broad appeal and features. This is a common trade-off in the security space, robustness versus convenience.
It reminds me of those super secure, clunky flip phones versus a sleek smartphone. You gain security but lose some functionality or ease of use.
A perfect analogy, Korn. And that's a decision each user has to make for themselves.
All right, this has been a deep dive into the technicalities. But before we get any further, let's take a quick break from our sponsors.
Are you tired of feeling like your identity is just your sesh? Do you wish there was a way to share your personal essence, your very being, with the world in a revolutionary new format? Introducing Persona Print, the groundbreaking service that digitizes your unique psychological and emotional profile into a blockchain, encrypted, non-fungible token. Imagine owning the digital rights to your mood swings, your deepest fears, your uncanny ability to find matching socks. Persona Print captures your entire subjective experience and mints it onto the decentralized ledger for posterity. Show the universe you're one of a kind, or maybe just a unique string of data. No actual benefits guaranteed, but imagine the bragging rights. You'll be the proud owner of YoYu, digitally. For a limited time, get the premium, soul signature package, including a dynamic NFT of your last dream. Persona Print. Because your data isn't just data, it's art. BUY. Now.
All right, thanks, Larry. Always a pleasure. Anyway, back to our discussion on messaging apps and what actually makes them secure. We've covered E2EE and metadata. What else should a regular person be thinking about?
Well, the ownership and governance of these platforms are also critical. WhatsApp is owned by Meta, a massive corporation with a well-documented history of data collection and advertising. Their primary business model relies on leveraging user data. Telegram is privately owned by Pavel Durov, who has positioned it as a champion of privacy, but its opaque internal structure and funding source has raised some eyebrows for true privacy advocates.
So, it's about trusting the company as much as the tech, then.
Exactly. Trust is paramount. Signal, on the other hand, is run by the Signal Technology Foundation, a non-profit organization. Their funding comes from grants and donations, not from selling data or advertising. Their code is also open source, meaning security experts and anyone else can inspect it for vulnerabilities or backdoors. This level of transparency fosters a higher degree of trust among those who prioritize privacy.
Open source, non-profit, that sounds like the ideal setup for a privacy-focused app. So, for a regular person truly concerned about their data, Signal looks like the clear front-runner. But what about features? I know WhatsApp and Telegram have a lot of bells and whistles that Signal might not.
You're right, Korn. Telegram, in particular, has become popular for its massive group chat capabilities, channels, bots, and extensive file-sharing limits. WhatsApp has features like payment integration in some regions, status updates, and broad user adoption. Signal has been catching up, adding features like disappearing messages, secure group video calls, and a desktop app, but it generally lags behind in terms of sheer feature bloat.
So, for some people, the extra features and larger user base might outweigh the maximum security. My mom's not going to switch to Signal if all her friends and family are on WhatsApp. It's a network effect problem.
It absolutely is. The utility of a communication app is inherently tied to who else is using it. This is why widespread adoption of less secure platforms can be a barrier to entry for more secure ones. Even if Signal is objectively better for privacy, if your entire social circle is on WhatsApp, the practical benefit of using Signal diminishes for everyday communication.
That's the real conundrum, isn't it? You can have the most secure app in the world, but if no one you want to talk to is on it, what's the point? It becomes a desert island.
And that's the compromise the regular person often has to make. Do they prioritize convenience and network reach, or do they prioritize robust, uncompromising privacy? My advice would always lean towards understanding the tools you use and making informed choices. For sensitive conversations, even if you mostly use WhatsApp, you could always switch to Signal for those specific discussions.
That's a good practical takeaway. Don't put all your eggs in one basket, or at least don't use the same basket for sensitive documents as you do for your laundry.
Precisely. Different tools for different jobs.
And we've got a caller on the line. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is Jim from Ohio, and I gotta say, you two are really overthinking this whole thing. All this talk about encryption and metadata and blah blah blah. My neighbor Gary, he's always going on about privacy too. He even puts tape over his laptop camera, drives his wife nuts. Anyway, I don't buy it. If the government wants to know what you're doing, they'll find out. Doesn't matter what app you're on, it's like trying to hide an elephant in a phone booth. You guys are missing a hiding elephant in a phone booth. You guys are missing the point. Just live your life. Also, it's supposed to rain all week here in Ohio, so my tomatoes are going to be drowning. Not looking forward to that.
Jim, I appreciate your skepticism, and you're not wrong that no system is 100% impenetrable against a highly resourced adversary. However, the point of strong encryption isn't to be absolutely uncrackable by every entity on Earth, but to raise the bar significantly, making it prohibitively expensive or time-consuming for most actors to access your data. It's about defense in depth.
Yeah, Jim. It's not about being invisible to everyone. It's about making it hard for unwanted eyes to see your stuff. Like locking your front door. A determined burglar might still get in, but you don't just leave it wide open, right?
I don't know. My cat, Whiskers, he figured out how to open the pantry door, and he's just a cat. These big tech companies, they're smarter than Whiskers. It's all just a big show, if you ask me. People think they're protected, but they're not. They're just giving more data to someone else.
While the analogy of Whiskers is charming, Jim, the difference is that with strong end-to-end encryption, the companies themselves genuinely cannot access the content of your communications, even if they wanted to or were legally compelled. Their business model shifts from content analysis to metadata analysis, which is why Signal's minimal metadata collection is so important.
It's not about being perfectly invisible, Jim. It's about making an informed choice about how visible you want to be and to whom. And for some people, that choice matters a lot. Thanks for calling in, Jim.
Whatever. You guys think too much. Click.
Well, that was Jim from Ohio. Always good to hear from him. He does have a point, though, about the perception versus reality. For a regular person, it can feel overwhelming.
Indeed. So, to bring it all together for our listeners, what are the key takeaways for the regular person concerned about their messaging security?
Okay, from my perspective, the first thing is, know what you're using. If you're using WhatsApp, understand its default. E2EE is good for messages, but be aware of cloud backups. If you're on Telegram, realize your regular chats are not E2EE, and you need to use secret chats for true privacy.
And for those who are truly privacy conscious, Signal offers the most robust end-to-end encryption by default across all communications with minimal metadata collection and is backed by a nonprofit. It is the gold standard in secure messaging.
Right. Second takeaway, consider your threat model. What are you trying to protect against? Casual snooping? Targeted surveillance? Corporate data mining? Your answer to that question should guide your app choice.
And third, don't be afraid to use different tools for different purposes. Use WhatsApp for your general family chats, but if you have a sensitive conversation, switch to Signal. It's not an all-or-nothing proposition.
That's a great point, Herman. It doesn't have to be one app for everything. You can mix and match based on the sensitivity of the conversation. And honestly, for most everyday communication, WhatsApp's default E2EE is a significant improvement over unencrypted methods, but it's not the pinnacle of privacy.
The landscape of digital communication is constantly evolving, and maintaining privacy requires vigilance and an understanding of the tools we employ. The perception that all encrypted apps are equal is a dangerous one.
Couldn't agree more. This prompt from Daniel really highlighted how much complexity there is under the surface of something we take for granted every day. It makes you think.
Always good to think, Korn. Always good to think.
All right, that's all the time we have for this episode of My Weird Prompts. A huge thank you to Daniel for sending in such a thought-provoking prompt. We love exploring these kinds of questions.
And thank you to our listeners for joining us on this deep dive into messaging app security.
You can find My Weird Prompts on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. We love hearing your thoughts, so send us your weirdest prompts. Until next time, stay curious.
And stay secure.
Bye for now.
Farewell.
Thanks for listening to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring Daniel Rosehill's AI prompts, as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters including me, Cornelius the Sloth. Subscribe on Spotify or visit myweirdprompts.com.